Also, did I staple this backwards? Yeah, I did. I stapled the first page backwards, I'm sorry. Let's start from Pasuk Ches, which is on the back of the first page, at least in mine it is. Oh, so mine is stapled backwards. Okay, Vayikra Yishai Avinadav. Yishai called to Avinadav, Vayavrei Lifnei Shmuel, and he brought him out of Avinadav before Shmuel. Vayomi said, Gambazel Lubachar, Hashem didn't choose this one either. Vayavrei Yishai Shama. Yishai brought his second son, Shama. Vayomi, and he said, Gambazel Lubachar Hashem. Also, this one was not chosen by Hashem. Vayavrei Yishai Shivat Banav Lifnei Shmuel. Yishai passed all his seven sons in front of Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai, Lo Bachar Hashem Beila, Hashem, Shmuel said to Yishai, God has chosen none of these. Now there's some Shiloh which I don't feel like getting into. Mitzvah David asked that, it sounds here from the Navi that there were seven sons plus David. But in Divrei Yomim it sounds like there were seven sons including David. So he tries to reconcile the two things. It's not exactly my cup of tea. I don't really particularly care to deal with that. But it is a problem. It is an issue which we have to be cognizant of. Okay, Pasukidav. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai, Shmuel says to Yishai, Hatama Norim, are all the kids finished? Are there no more kids? Vayomer, and he says, Yishai says, Otshar Kakoton. The youngest is still around. Vinei Roe Batzon. And he is grazing the sheep. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai, so Shmuel says to Yishai, Shulcha Kol V'Kochenu, bring Amir Kilona Sov Abo Po, because we cannot eat till he comes. So he sends, Yishai sends, and they bring him, and he was red-haired, with beautiful eyes, the Tov Roi, and good-looking. Hashem said, arise, and anoint him, because this is the one. Now, a few very important things here to see. First of all, I want to see the Malbim, very, very powerful Malbim here. Take a look, it's not on this page, it's on the next page. The Malbim says in Pasuk Aleph, well actually it pays. Everybody see that? That's on the page, it's just Malbim. There's a solid block of Malbim on that page. Not that page, page before. Sorry, you're stapled backwards also like mine. So I stapled some of them backwards. So it's a solid page of Malbim on the third front page of most of them. Vuad Moni. This is a long Malbim, but very fascinating. It's mamish, like I wrote here in my notes, it's Tzadokian. Tzaykar of Tzadok. Vuad Moni. Poer Olo Amitas Mashkosa Tchila. Here, Hashem demonstrated to Shmuel that the truth of that we said previously, Ki Loka Shayir Adam, it's not like man sees. Ki David Yad Moni, David looked red. What does it mean? Shagov Rabo Adima. He had a very high overpowering redness. Rubativo mukhalish vichazdam, which means that he is by nature a murderer. Mitarechara in nira bo gankein roshomim tovi. And on the other hand, he also seemed to have a good element. He had beautiful eyes, and he looked good. Shazemorel shuchadayun. This shows that he is a very intellectual fellow. People have nice eyes; it means they're intellectual. V'tov amezik, and since he looks good, he looks like he has a good nature. K'mashkasvatimim, like the scientist writes. Now, we're Shmuel to have this analyze this based on his human perspective. And for sure, Shmuel would have decided that David's not suitable. Aval Hashem yirelo levav. But Hashem looked at David's heart. V'yad, and he knew, ki mitol b'chiraso, since David has free will, yaseh ach mishpat tzedakah, he's not going to be a murderer, he's going to do only justice and righteousness. Uv'teva ad mimus ha'netuabon, with that red tendency which he has, nishtamish milchom milchomas Hashem, will use that to wage the wars of God. L'achris meir Hashem, and to remove from the city of God, kol pleyav, and all those who commit sins. This is what Hashem desired. Even though David has somewhat of a negative inclination in his nature, nonetheless he will govern it or override it because of his righteousness and his good free choices. That's how it says, arise and anoint him.
Hanirtzafani is the one I want. V'chein amru chazal, and so do chazal say, came in Shirash Shmuel's David Admoni, when Shmuel saw David was red, this year he got himself afraid. Amri said, Zeh shaytich dami kesar, this is like kesar, this guy's a murderer. Amri HaKadosh Baruch Hashem said, no, I'm yifei naim. He has beautiful eyes. What did chazal say about that? Esav, midas asmo. Esav, did he ask Shilas before he went and murdered? No, it's like Igor Amir, goes out and kills, right? Who goes out? Who asked that? Wherever, David? Zemidah Sanhedrin also, Urorik. David asked Sanhedrin. Gemara Brachos, right beginning of Shas. Every time David went out to war, he asked Sanhedrin permission first. He didn't do anything without, he didn't move without Sanhedrin. So therefore, the Tzomach is a mitzat tov mizgo. This has to do with his good nature, the sichlon and his intellect. That's what his beautiful eyes indicate. In other words, his beautiful eyes don't just mean that he went to the Sanhedrin called the Enei or Eda. It's not just an allegory, a naim. They're the eyes of the congregation, he had good eyes. But rather, he had a good intellect. He knew, I have to go to the Sanhedrin to consult before I do something. Only Sanhedrin, if I recall correctly, Urim V'Tumim have to ask by the Sanhedrin, after the Sanhedrin is consulted. It's a special halacha. You can't do what, we can't rely on one without the other. I think that's what Gemara comes out. That's what comes out from the Gemara beginning of Brachos. Sanhedrin without Urim V'Tumim doesn't work. You need both. He did both. He went to both Sanhedrin and Urim V'Tumim. Yeah. Okay. So on this we said, Kuma Shcheu rise and anoint him Kiuzeh. Amar Shin Gamliel. Shin Gamliel says, Zeu Bolam Azeh. He's the one in this world. V'Zeu Olam Abayin is the world to come. So Amar Shagam Shu Bolam Azeh. But the way the Mamater said, even though right now he's an Olam Azeh, who should know the people in the Olam Azeh, and he's a shtickle this worldly. Shadmoni Goyverbo, because he's red, which is, you know, earthy, I guess would be the proper terminology. Because it's nonetheless mitzuv mizko v'sichlo, because it's good nature and his intellect and his free will, b'chiroso, who Olam Haba is in Olam Haba at the same time. V'yochas tzadik darko, and it's a tzadik, he'll grab his own way, l'shtamish bo, to use it, l'rotzif neshem, for the desires of God. L'chein zo ani yotzo etzli. That's why, this is what I want. V'fij rash chazal, and therefore it's according to drash of chazal, it's nachon, it's very good. Mashabo milat im yefei enayim, tachos vav achibur. It says, admoni im yefei enayim. Not just Amoni Feinai. That way it would be two separate descriptive clauses. He's red and he's also had his nice eyes. No, it's Admoni with, in other words, they're co-joined together. He's red with Feinai. That way everything will be taken care of. Now, a couple of other very interesting things in the Pasuk are, this Pasuk indicates how David is now going to supersede and take over from Shaul. If you turn to my notes, please. I'm supposed to get off your base. This is a bona fide Reb Tzadok. I need off your base. The eight position, name and name, there are two ways to overcome the eight Sahara. So it's the famous Kabbalistic dichotomy. All these kapya, either to subjugate the eight Sahara, suppress it. Dugmas Elio, like Elio does, and Moshiach ben Yosef, and of course, the house of Yosef, the big tzaddikim, they always subjugated the eight Sahara. All these hapacha are to sublimate it, to turn it around, to make it holy, to use it for the right purpose. Joyce, the Dugmas Moshiach ben David, like Moshiach ben David. Dayodo, by the Moshiach ben David, Yislam and the eight Sahara will become bleached. After it is slaughtered and killed, Aidei Moshiach ben Yosef canal by Moshiach ben Yosef. In other words, the way the Gula occurs is first, the Yetzara is killed. Killed doesn't mean it's vanquished; it's destroyed, but it's vanquished. After it's vanquished, it can be used properly, kind of like when you shecht an animal. It's dead, but it's not annihilated. It's not vanquished. It's not destroyed. Adarabba, now that it's dead, you can taka eat it. So to the Yetzirah, when it's shechted at the end of Gemara, it's Sukkot, it says the Yetzirah is shechted. It doesn't mean it's shechted and eliminated, but rather shechted in order to use it, in order now to be able to properly make use of it, l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. The kingship was borrowed. He ain't a madrigoso betzim. He didn't have the capacity to sublimate his yetzer to use it for a good purpose. Rag madrigos David. This is madrigos David. Chashav does show made a mistake, and he thought gam bezel ishtamish kelim shum to use the borrowed vessels of David. Kimidoso show yet tzadik gomer. Although Shaul's attribute was that he was a complete tzadik, beloche klal, and without any sin at all, and therefore his purpose was la'kafya, to subjugate the Eitzahara. And Rakmidas David HaMelech of Hashem, it's only the attribute of David, Shekim Ola Shel Tshuva, who made the first, literally, pyre of Tshuva, who is Apocha, to turn over the Eitzahara and sublimate it for good purpose. The Chay Moshiach ben David, so to Moshiach ben David, Shiyavo, when he comes, attacking Gamrisha called Doris Chatoim, when he comes to rectify the Rishayim of all the generations, of all the sins, Shekashonim, that those which are red, Kashel Galvina, will become white like snow. Aydedis Labani Eitzor, by the Eitzor becoming bleached. Kshe Yishchot, when it is shechted. V'yaitzi Domo, when the Eitzor is shechted, of course, what do you have to do when you shecht an animal? Malicha, right, you have to salt it. So they salt the Eitzahara, and they take out its redness, its blood. What does it mean, its redness? They take away the negative aspect of the Eitzahara. Negative Yetzer is the violent or vicious aspect, right? Once the Yetzer has that, in other words, let me give you a marshal for like this. You know, there are two basic elements of the Yetzer: taiva and kina, right? Jealousy and lust. Now, lust, desire, it can be a good thing. You use the desire of l'shem shamayim, right? Kina, jealousy, is never a good thing. It's bad. That's its nature. In Olam Hazeh, you need it though. Because in Olam Hazeh, the lot of Rishoyim, you have to have, you know, Misanech Hashem Esna, I want to hate the people who Hashem wants me to hate. But on the whole, it's a bad midah. It's sometimes necessary, but on the whole, it's negative. I was just listening to the radio today on the way home, and they were having a series on NPR on religion. So they were saying that some jerk, got up and said that all organized religions are bad. Because all organized religions believe they focus on an enemy. The enemy is not necessarily well-defined, but they have to have an enemy. In other words, the religion's purpose is to say, we don't want to be like that, or we want to eliminate that, or we have to stay away from that. That's how most religions define themselves. And the truth is, if religion defines itself that way, it's a very bad thing. A religion defines itself by the positive, what we're striving for. We're striving for Avodas Hashem. Hi, we have an enemy called Amalek. That's a peripheral part. It's not peripheral, it's essential, but it's not the definition of the religion. The religion is what we want to be, what we want to strive to be. That's what's important. So therefore, we really want to have that drive to yearn, to quest, to seek, to desire good. The reason why the HR is a dangerous thing is because what the characteristic, let me see if I can explain this in a way which makes it clear. What's the characteristic which makes a person use that desire for bad purposes? The fact that he pursues his own agenda as opposed to the agenda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means you're pursuing your own pleasure, your own desires, your own wants. That really comes from the same root as kina, as jealousy, as strife. Because what causes jealousy and strife? I'm great. You're lousy. That's the definition of jealousy. That's the definition of strife. I'm great. My pleasures come first, right? You know, I seek to my own pleasure, my own needs. So in essence, although it's taiva which gets involved there, it's taiva which is connected very much to my focus on myself, my jealousy. In other words, my placing myself before all others. That's the admimus, the redness. Now again, in this world, jealousy is necessary, strife is necessary, sometimes you have to wage battles. You know, battles are very important. But ideally, in the world to come, that will be taken away. That admimus will be taken away. Literally, the Eitzor will be salted, that blood will be gone, and the Eitzor will be pure and white as driven snow. Okay? So that's what we're talking about here. We say, Kashel Yabino, right. Shekashoni Kashel Yabino, Aydedi Islam in the Eitzor, Kshayishchot, when the Yetzer shechted, v'yotzi damo, v'admimus, and the redness, Yishor chasodin tovin la'am Yisrael, and there'll just be good chesed. Because the taiva, what manifests itself sometimes as impure taiva, really can be made pure chesed, pure goodness. I'll be like a David. But he didn't know David yet. But he thought, I'll be like a David. I'll work on my chesed. I know I'm a very big tzaddik. It wasn't about gaiva, but he knew he didn't sin. He said, that's not just enough for me not to sin. I want to also, if I want to be a proper leader, as we mentioned many times, I also got to work on the desire, the yearning, the aspiration towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so I can be the nagid, like we mentioned many times, the one who pulls Am Yisrael to Hashem. So he wanted to work on his chesed. In other words, on his outgoingness, on his fervor, on his yearning, on his desire, on his questing. Okay, that's what he wanted to work on. Very nice. To work on his holy chesed, from shachas ataiva to channel that desire from mekor b'kedusha to its source in kedusha. Adar shechamru chazal, like Chazal say, if you have a taiva, what do? Mashchei lebeis hamedrash, bring it to the base medrash, pull it to the base medrash, take it out of a negative sense and give it a positive spin. Hayil chamidu daraisa to desire Torah. Ava mitzadze. But from this perspective, despite the fact that he tried to do it, karmi spashtus midas achesed, he misused it. No, it's shol. Don't try to be what you're not. You want to be a big baal chesed, it's not you. You know what's going to be shol? You try to use chesed, you know who you're going to end up having chesed on? An amalek. An agag. In other words, you try to have yearning, aspiration, softness. You can't have those qualities. It's not you, Shaul. You try, you fail. Don't do it. And you think that you're not good as you are? You're just fine as you are. Don't try to be what you're not. Eliyahu HaNavi. He wasn't this kind, you know, touchy-feely, soft kind of guy, you know. He was tough as nails. He was hard. It's rough. Yet nonetheless, Eliyahu is the one who overcame everything, even death, and lives forever. But Eliyahu won't be king. He just prepares the way for Mashiach to come. So Shaul, you know what? You won't be king forever. You'll have your position. But Shaul tried to be what he wasn't. Shaul tried to have mercy where mercy was not called for. Not because he intentionally did that, but because he messed up. He didn't listen. When Shmuel says, "V'lo sach mo lo lot," don't have chemla. Do us no favors. Don't try to change yourself to what you're not. Shaul decided nonetheless to try. That was his mistake. Okay? Shaul b'achat, Shaul, one test. I'm sorry, I skipped. He expanded his chesed the wrong way. Lios rachma, he had mercy on Zoram and cruel people. Lachmo agog, he had mercy on agog. Shaul b'achat, Shaul, one test. V'lo al-salo. It didn't work. Is pushed aside, cast aside from kingship because of this. And he's came out that it was barred by him, and it wasn't his level. The melech b'mishpat yamid haaretz, a king, has to be careful to use judgment, not to exceed the bounds. For David hamelech olav shalom, David, he was red. For yadav chadus v'charutzos, lirdos olson, sheroy lirdos. And his hands were sharp and quick to afflict those who required afflictions. The Mifeinai, with beautiful eyes, meaning Shainai Samadat Sanedrin, he only did go in Sanedrin told him to. But the point is, the Kol Mishnei HaFachim, he had two different opposite forces conflicting within him, which he harmonized. The one which was jealousy, and the one which was love and softness. By days of Kol HaFachim, since he had the two forces, that was his personality. The two forces together were the personality of David HaMelech. He had those personality, he can do what Shaul can't. What Shaul cannot do. Shaul cannot you change. He couldn't be you change from that hard, strict, restrained mode to a soft, yearning, loving, you know, kindness mode. But David could. That was David's unique quality. That he had those two things together. Two opposite forces. And it caused him trouble and grief. And Hashem knew that. That's why Hashem gave him many chances. Not like Shaul. Shaul was given one chance because the Shaul was not made up of contradictions. Straightforward. And if he fails, that's it. David, by definition, there's all life, this tension between his two sides. And David Hashem has given chance after chance after chance. Completely different personality. Different type of nisyonim, different type of test. and this is the totem, the completion of kingship. Shoshana arose these base sumak v'chiva, which has both red and white. Kolechem b'chem roi, each one in the proper place. Kihi alavana, that's also the moon. David is called the moon, right? The sign that there's a new moon. Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, when the Romans come and you can't give explicit signs, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. That's the sign. So you say it by Kiddush Levana, right? The Leis Limigar Makumi does nothing from his own. Rakmash Mashbin Law, just what he gets from the sun. Okay, David Eino Semidas Hatz Makumi didn't follow his own agenda. Rakmash Hashem Yisbarach Meir Eino, only that Hashem illuminated his eyes, Bar Torah, the light of Torah. I will show Choshel Yitzchak, and Yatzer Shol tried to be too smart on his own. Negem Maimar Novi, against that which the Novi told him, but Tzivir turned out which the Torah commanded him. Okay, so David's Milo was, he was an Admoini, like Shaul was an Admoini. I don't know if Shaul was actually red, but Shaul and David could have shared that trait. And Shaul, the thing is, his Admimus did not lead him to become overly murderous and wage major wars, even though he was a warrior as well. But people from Yosef, people from Binyamin, they have that power of restraint, maintaining their tzidkus, and it doesn't lead them astray. Hashem says, don't try and add on that which is not there. By David, that power is not necessarily manifest in restraint, but rather can have even a, perhaps a murderous quality to it. He doesn't have that automatic restraint. What he has, counterbalancing that, is a softness, a love, a yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, in that case, you're constantly going to be in a state of confrontation and conflict and trying to reconcile the two conflicting forces. Now, there's a very powerful medrash here on the pasuk. The pasuk itself says, we take a look back in the pasuk itself, on pasuk, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shmuel says to Yishai, Shilcha v'karchenu, go back and get David. Kilon so, because we will not recline to eat abo upon until David comes. So here I wrote on the side of my notes, Kilon so abo upon from the Yalkut Shimoni, amazing medrash. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Ben Achmeni. Shmuel Ben Achmeni said, V'shab oylem hazeh, lo'ei sebu shnei gedoylem, because not only that, the two gedolim, Yishai and Shmuel, didn't sit down to eat. Achiyoshav David ben Amitul, David sat between them. Kach le'asi lovel sot in the world to come. Ein l'chokom mechitza mechitza shon tzadikim. You have no grouping, or no cluster, or no room of tzadikim. Shein David omin al gavon, that David does not stand over them and connect them. It's remarkable. If not for David, none of the tzaddikim would ever be connected. There'd be some in this room, some in that room, some in that room. David transcends the different groups of tzaddikim and connects them all. It's an amazing thing. I think because, you know, there's so many different ways. This is just my understanding of it. I'm sure it's not the deepest understanding. But, you know, there's so many different ways to be a tzaddik in Klal Yisrael. You can be a chassid, you can be a misnagid, you can be a svardi. And within all those subgroupings, you can have infinite subgroupings, you know. There's so many different ways that people are tzaddikim throughout the generations. How are they ever going to get along? This guy says, my derech is the right derech. The other guy says, my derech is the right derech. How is anybody ever going to get along? As is, they don't get along, we know, right? So how are they going to get along in the world in the long term? So a very beautiful Gemara at the end of Tanis, which says, at the end of the Lossi Lava, all the tzaddikim will make a ring around the Shekhinah, and the prayer pointed to the Shekhinah, the divine presence, says, Zekeli Varveu. Chavetz Chaim says they make a ring or a circle because on a circle all points are equal distance from the center. But what unites them in the circle? It's that they all have this common aspiration, which David HaMelech gives voice to in Tehillim, right? David HaMelech unites everybody and says, listen, the goal is one. Shifti Veitz Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. Lachsus Benoam Hashem Elevaker Veicholo. The inspiration for every tzaddik comes from David HaMelech. In other words, if they just had their drachim in how to avoid sins, then there'd be nothing uniting them. But that's not all which makes them tzidkus. What makes them tzidkus is also the aspiration, the goal, the inspiration, and that all comes from David HaMelech. So David HaMelech is the one who unites all the different drachim in Klal Yisrael and brings them together, that everybody has the same motivations, the same perspective, the same goals, the same, you know, broader path, and that's what unites them all together. All right. I think that that's at least a superficial shot in what this Yalkut Shimoni is saying. Let's go to the Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel tells us, very, very strange Pasuk. Weird. Pasuk Gimel says, Vayikach Shmuel Karen Hashem, and Shmuel took the horn of oil, Vayim Shachoso, and he anointed David Bekerav Echav among his brothers. There are different Pshat in Bekerav Echav. Some of the Pashim say it means he did it in secret, so Shaul shouldn't find out, only among the brothers. Others say, on the contrary, he did it in public, in the midst of all his brothers. So let anybody who wants to come and protest, try and come and protest. Very different perspectives of what Bekerav Echav means. Vatitzlach Ruach Hashem El David, by Amei Yom Ha'uz, the Spirit of God rested on David from that day, Muvamala, and onwards, upwards as well. Vayakam Shmuel, Shmuel went, got up, Vayelech Ramos, and he went to Ramah. Now, a few very strange things here. First of all, what's plain in this pasuk about David and Shmuel's encounter? What's glaring? What strange thing happened here when David and Shmuel encountered each other in the pasuk of Gimel? Again, Vayikach Shmuel Shker Hashem Mishachos of Kerev Echav, Vatitzach Ruach Hashem El David Mayom Ahuv Amala, Vayakam Shmuel Vayelech Ramasa. What's missing? Shmuel says nothing to David. Nothing. He doesn't say anything. Yeah, he doesn't even say Chia Melech, you know. Don't say be a good boy. He says nothing. He pours the oil on his head and just walks away. Isn't that amazing? Not a word. What? So, and this is a strange thing, because certainly this is a high point for Shmuel. I mean, he's anointing David HaMelech, you know, this is the king for all times. So the Dak and Buski based something about this explicitly. He says, that Hashem said to Shmuel, my Mashiach is standing here, Va'ata Kodosh Yeshiv, and you're making yourself holy and sitting. Kum Mashkeo, rise and anoint him. He obviously knew this is a major event in his lifetime. It says at the end of the Gimel, Vayokum Shmuel, Shmuel got up, he arose. You know, this is like a kima for him, in an uprising. So what does it mean? So Pashut, you would say, Shmuel is afraid of spies. Shmuel is going to be afraid of spies. Maybe yes, maybe no. It's a little bit difficult, though. That's superficial. And there must be more for this, in my opinion. Now that I want to point out something else, which is that, although in Vaskid Av, Shmuel says, we can't sit down to eat until David gets here. What does he not do when David gets there? They don't sit down to eat. They don't even eat lunch together. Shmuel anoints him. That's it. Walks away. It's amazing. So I have two possible approaches here. One is the... my colleague Rabbi Kivalevich suggested that there's a tremendous dissonance between Shmuel and David. Shmuel and Shaul connected. They're very connected. As we mentioned a few times, Shmuel and Shaul almost have the same name, right? It's only a difference of the mem, right? And Shmuel and Shaul had a very, very similar tchunas nefesh, very similar characteristics. They were both people of restraint, right? Shmuel, they were very, very, very meticulous and tzaddikim. They're very, very parush, separate from this world. That was their characteristic. Shmuel and David can't relate. They just can't have a relationship. Shmuel cannot conceive of David being the king. That's why he didn't even think of anointing him.
So maybe the age had this problem. Shmuel was a very young
back. David. Kid. David was young.
David.
Yeah, Shmuel was very old.
Shmuel was, you know,
it could be, right? It could be the age of it. It could be. That certainly could be true. I have a different shot here. This is my understanding of this, although, of course, this is just sheer conjecture and hypothesis, but that's the most fun, which is that David was anointed with a keren, with a horn. And as a matter of fact, we say it's Vatarem kirem karni balosi b'shem en ranon. So the Medrash says, Vatarem kirem karni balosi b'shem ranon is talking, David's talking about his own anointment. Vatarem kirem karni, Hashem, you uplifted in Shmuel's hand like a unicorn. My horn, the horn of my oil. Balosi, and I was completely, doused. The Shem around on with this fresh oil. So Dava is anointed with a horn, and Chazal say Shol was anointed with a tin. His machus didn't last. Shmuel Shol, David was anointed with a horn, his machus lasted. But it's more than that. The Karen represents, we mentioned this last week, the Karen comes out of the forehead by an animal. It's out of the brain, out of the mind, represents an extension of the mind. And Shmuel is holding this Keren, which obviously has this unique oil which comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's pouring it. I believe that their connection was transcends words. In other words, there's a certain Ruach HaKodesh which transfers spirit to spirit, which doesn't transfer by words. To use words at that point would have diminished the transfer of the Ruach. The spirit is so powerful that to use words makes it oil mazedik, makes it verbalized in this world. So the ear was much more subtle in that it was coming literally from Shmuel, that Ruach was coming directly down into David. And therefore, it was such a powerful experience that it could not be diminished by speech, nor even by staying to eat lunch. Shmuel just leaves. Okay? Again, I can't prove it, but that's a thought. Yes.
Is it possible that Shmuel was still mourning the fact that
Yes, you could say that. So it would be an obvious approach that Shmuel was a mourning Shmuel, and he just couldn't relate to what's going on here. Okay, let's do your dials. Turn the page. For most of you, it's turning back a page. For Ruach Hashem, Sara Meim Shol, the Ruach of Hashem was removed from Shol, uviatoso, and he was seized by Ruach Ra'ah, a negative spirit, Meis Hashem from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Rabbag makes the obvious connection that the Ruach Hashem went from Shol to David, and Shol got this negative, this bad Ruach. There's very important Malbims, the next few Psukim. Let's see, I guess it's see Tezvav also, and then we'll see the Malbim is on Yudal and Tezvav.
Why do we have to have a
negative
Ruach?
We'll see the Malbim, we'll discuss that. Love. So the servants of Shol said to him, hey, hineinu Ruach Elokim Ruach Mivatim Avitecha. You have a negative spirit from God, which is making you afraid, which is making you confused, which is bothering you. Now, we're making you quake, whatever. Now, what's the difference? What's obvious? The difference between Pasuk Yudah and Pasuk Tezvav in terms of the Ruach. What's blatantly different? Right, in Pasuk Tezvav, it's Ruach Elohim as opposed to Pasuk Yudah, which is Ruach Hashem. Right? That's right. This is Ruach Elohim as opposed to Yud Kei Vav Kei. This is obviously a very important distinction. We'll come back to the second. Let's see the Malbim. So the long, but it's very important. Yudah and Tezvav. Ruach Hashem, sorry, it's on the right here on the same page. Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God is a concentration or an overcoming of Sheva Ruchnis, of a flow of spirituality, being Elohim in a divine fashion, Asher Chala Kol Chosav HaNafshios, which devolves on one's spiritual or one's soul's forces, but Avishay Ruach Kvod, it encompasses a person with the spirit of strength or courage. He's filled with the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and fear of God. Look at this very interesting principle. His fleshy tools, in other words, his body, which bears the soul, Yuchnu will be prepared and uplifted to receive El Hashem Allah's this great flow. We also Mishkan Kavod, so they can be a residence or abode of honor for this ruach. Onam esu sarmi men hashefa becheta, but when that spirit is removed because of one's sins, the kale of yurku, and your vessels are emptied. Me aruchni is showing above the spirituality which dwelt there. Yagi shachisona, that you'll feel the shortcoming. Vishtomim, and you'll be astonished. Vizbael, and you will be afraid. V'tachas ruach hanitzkov, and in lieu of that lofty spirit, yishkom ruach acher, a person will have a different kind of spirit, shchori, a dark one, male belha bilha, full of fright, v'etzev, and sadness, daga, anxiety, ubata, and trembling. In other words, it was such a great high before. When you come down it, it's such a terrible, devastating woe. That's what happens. He was seized by this negative spirit. Since this dark spirit, Yisuvah will come about occasionally, I say, Hefseid HaKelim HaChitzonim, because there's something wrong with your external bodily forces. Maybe something went wrong with your brain, or even your circulatory system. Maybe something's wrong bodily. Maybe you have a health problem, right? Well, for me, sometimes you survive a day of symptoms. Something comes about because of a mental problem, literally hallucination problem, but a mental problem. Which comes from Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel, like the Abarbanel writes, to show achar sarmi menu ruach Hashem, so after the Spirit of God came up, left him, lo nishar kesar nashim, he didn't just stay plain, like a regular guy, regular Joe, no. Abel Yadayik Tomid, he was really a wreck. He was constantly anxious, mahar ba'oncho, contemplating his punishment, v'afsei malchuso, and his loss of his kingship, v'cheto kodur sin, v'mitokach, and the result of that, nisrav damo, his blood was scorched. I don't know what that means exactly, but it became literally, it wasn't just a psychosomatic problem, it became a physical problem. V'nei sababo choli ha-melancholy. He became, so it's melancholia here, but he became melancholy. Hamisavim mitzreifas adam, which comes about by the blood getting burnt, v'amor aduma, and red bile. So those are two different ways. Either it's a health issue, or it's a mental issue, but a mental issue also can become a health issue. Right? It's depression, right? The what level?
Serotonin.
Ah, okay. So that's what's going on. Blood boil. We find him here in your Ashkochi. Sometimes there's something through the Ashkocha, through divine retribution. Sheyochul ruach dimyoni alkoch nafsho, that some divine poor force will come down upon his come down him and cause him to hallucinate. Nobody knew what it was. It could have been any of these three. That's the point the pasuk is making.
Well, we don't know.
Well, we'll try and... Okay. It could be one of two or three things. Okay. We can't say with certainty. Okay. So he says, wrapping. So it depends on the different ways of treating this melancholy. Could be by some extrinsic way, by, I don't know, injections or medicines, to fix the body, right? You treat melancholy, depression through chemical means, right?
Medication.
Valium, what is it? Prozac. Electroshock. Or there can be an internal way of treating it, right? Like psychoanalysis. To change the course of your mental problem, right? V'amachshav, your thought, elasimcha, make you happier. V'amagon, relax. You know, meditation techniques, stuff like that. V'avoda bachru za muzika. And his servants chose music. Because music changes the mood, it changes the soul. Right.
Therapeutic.
And that might even be able to solve his health problems. Because when it's going to make him, have happy thoughts. So therefore they say in Pasuk Tesayin, Yomer no Adonenu, Avodecho Levanecha, our master should say that to his slaves who are before him, Yivakshu Isho Dem Nagin, they should look for a person who knows how to play Bakinor, the harp, I think that is, V'yabi also Lecho Ruach Elokim Ro, when you have this negative divine force, V'nigin Biyado, he should strum on with his hands, V'tov Lechon will be good for you. Okay, so really that the music should help in order to change your mood, in order to change your nature. Now let's come back a little bit again to this process. I don't know, when it says Ruach Elohim, that doesn't necessarily mean Hashem. Elohim many times in Tanakh means judge, a judge, right, or some authority. So it could be that Ruach Elohim, it's Ruach Elohim Ra. In other words, that Shaul felt judged, Shaul felt beset, Shaul felt that he was persecuted, right? So it was like a persecution complex that he felt this melancholy because he felt unfairly treated and harshly judged. That way I would read it Elohim, as the Lashon of Dayanim, or the pressures came from his being judged, or maybe being too judgmental of himself, whatever. Then Reb Tzodek says that this bad mood was taken from the Sitra Achra. It wasn't from Hashem. So he learned two separate ruchos. They're not contingent on each other.
Two separate ruchos.
He had a divine ruch Hashem which left him. And now he has got this negative ruch.
It's not any type, it's raw. It's
not
certainly a negative type.
Oh, because since it says, right. Yeah, but I don't know if that makes us have to learn Elohim as being Elohim, part of that love as being connected. In other words, the Ruach, Hashem can send, let's look at it in a simplistic way. Hashem can send a shade, a demon, and give Shaul the Ruach Ra. So in that case, is the Ruach from Hashem? Yes. But is it divine? Is it divinely inspired? No, it's divinely sent, but not divinely inspired. It's not the same thing. Do you understand the difference I'm making?
Here in Yudalit, it's almost like there was an exchange took place.
Yeah.
If this was whatever left him, whatever good the good ruach left him, was replaced by the ruach.
Right.
So it's very difficult to understand. I mean, he was completely a shogik here. It was not where he suddenly fell into a melancholy or fell into a depression because he saw that the kingdom, he lost the kingship.
Yeah.
It seems to me that the Rebbeinu Shlom here implanted.
You're right. It's more mashba. The truth is, I didn't really focus on Pasuk Yudal. You're probably right. It is Targum. I did see the Targum. The Targum says it's Hashem the whole time. Right? He doesn't switch from Yudal to Tezvav. He just says Min Kodam Hashem the whole time. And that's really like you were saying that it is a divine spirit. And the truth is that one could learn that way. That it's not just Hashem sent the shade, or Hashem caused him to have a depression or melancholy, but rather Hashem himself was constantly afflicting him with this ruach ra as a punishment, or whatever the case may be.
It was a direct action.
But then you see it's tremendous, he's so dear. I'll accept that, but then I wrote here, you see a fascinating principle, which is that a divinely bestowed mood can be changed by human intervention. Because what happens? When David does come, we know the rest of the parak says. When David plays, that's it, the mood goes away. Yeah, but it's a ruach from Hashem. So what's going on here? How could a ruach from Hashem be taken away by human hand? So you could say that, David was special. Because David had a special, maybe only David was capable of doing it. But I don't think so. I think that even if a ruach comes from Hashem, it can be changed by human intervention. It's not, since we do live in Olam Hazeh, so therefore, even if a ruach comes down from Shamayim, but it's still something which is, so to speak, a visitor. Not as strong a force in this world. So therefore, if David HaMelech or anybody else can influence that mood, that can change even ruach from Hashem. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that. Later on. In other words, maybe later on it became enhanced so much. Okay, that could be. All right, it could be my hypothesis is incorrect. We'll have to wait till we get those broken. But it's about a point you're raising that later on we see that it doesn't work. In other words, eventually the ruach becomes too strong. All right.
Also, on a physical, scientific principle, nature is always vacuum. So if something is taken away, it has to be replaced with something else. So the ruach told that the
yes.
is replaced. It can't just be removed. It
right, that's
replaced.
Very good. That's kind of like the mom was saying, right? In other words, it can't be neutral. You can't go back to neutral.
It can't
yeah. It has to be something there. Once there was something there one direction, it has to be compensated in the other direction. Okay. You dying in Ches, very important. I'm still coming. I don't know if we'll even finish them tonight. Shaul says to his servants, Runali ish meitiv lenagin. Shaul says, according to the Malbim, but it seems to be Pashup Shad, I don't just want Stama, a bard, a court minstrel. I want somebody native lenagin. And the Malbim explains, I need somebody who's suitable to be a servant to the king all around. An all around very good guy. Bring him to me. So one of the lads was saying this, says, I saw a son for Yisha of Yishai in Beis Lechem. Yoden again, who knows to make music. Vigi Barachayim, and he's a strong fellow. Vishmachom, a man of war. Unavon, Dovar, an understanding person. Vishtoar, a person of stature or of countenance. Hashem Yivon, God is with him. Has a very, very, there's six traits here. Excuse me? Is it coincidence? Yes. It's obviously Ashgacha, but it is coincidence. Excuse me?
Well, he must have seen him swing the slingshot.
So all of them explained, yeah, no, the slingshot wasn't here, but he killed lions and tigers and bears. You know, when they came to attack the sheep, then he was a very strong fellow. Now,
why didn't he say the last one first?
Which last one? Hashemimo?
Yeah.
Well, Chazal say, there are two interpretations about it. Chazal say the echonorim is doig edomi. Doig ha-domi. Echon anorim. So he was out to get David. He was really telling Lashon Hara. He wanted to say, show, hey, you know this guy David? He's not like you. He's good. You're now bad. And that way Shaul would get jealous. So he saved the biggest praise for last, so that should linger in Shaul's mind, saying, Hashem Yimah Chazal say means, Halacha k'maisim b'chol makom. Halacha is like Doeg was talking about in terms of learning, saying to Shaul basically, you can't pass in trialists anymore. David, he's becoming the place of the generation. You're going to have to eliminate him. So that's the way the Chazal learned. But I want to show you the Malbim. It's a very, very beautiful Malbim there. Take a look, it's long. All the Malbims are long. He really went to town on this
bed. All this time that Shula,
whether he was anointed or not? No, he had no idea what served. It's Mamishar Kukur Hashkacha Pratis.
That was between
Shmuel, David, and Shmuel and Yishai's other kids who were there.
Yishai was present?
Yeah, Yishai was present. Yishai and the other kids were present. Okay, Yud Ches in the Malbim. Vayan Echom Yoram, one of the lads responded, L'chein Eshif. So he responded in order to show that that David is a mating. Kinim tzu b'David gam shlemes acheres. David has other whole list of good traits, perfect characteristics. Chutz me'aregel b'nigum. Besides the fact that he knows how to spin a song. Because based on these other traits, royal lios b'chol emel, it's suitable for him to be in the palace of the king. Ukfar b'er ma'ari, the Bar Melo explained, shoshamo shishatam, that there's six descriptions here. One, I'll have you then again. When somebody is there, Chochmas HaMuzika B'Shlemus knows how to do music. He's a good composer and musician. Beis B'Gibor Chayil. Shalok HaDev HaShoyim. It's not like most minstrels. Sharuba Mishtam V'Kochad Demoyim. Most of them are, how should we say, are, no, not just Nevi, but Spacey. Spacey. Simeoni, right? They're very much into their imagination. They have chalusha mezik and their soft character. Refui harkova with very soft makeup al rov. David's not like that. Kim of ish mechama. Yodei talbuz mechama knows war strategies. V'gam azed davar magmi. This is also an amazing thing. Shamisasi with talbuz mechama. Somebody who's involved in the strategies of war, you know, like Patton or somebody like that. Lo yachis mano benigo. He's not going to spend time on songs of shir and new music. Came along, he's not going to spend opposing things. Davanovon zudavar. He's a very understanding, intelligent person. Gamze neged aragim shorin. This is also against the norm by musicians. Shenishlomi b'dimion, they're very good at hallucinating or at spacing out. The chacher heisa askel amiti lovin, they generally lack true intellect. That's why people who are very, very intellectual and have good counsel are usually not songwriters or poets, except very rarely. I've always found that very, very smart people are very, very tone deaf. So, completely unscientific. But so David was not like that. He was intellectual at the same time that he was a good musician. Hey, Vishtar. Normally, poets are not handsome people. Songwriters. Shem Shchorim, they are dark. I guess, you know, the blacks, they got swing. I got rhythm, right. Ravavas. And they really, Damien, will they be, I guess, reddish, Yifetor, and handsome. Vav Hashemimo. Ritzom Amishu Yireh Elokim, he's God-fearing. The Samiran stays away from evil. The Gamzeh Almaat. This also happens very rarely by musicians. Shifetor, because Shamanagin Shifetor. Normally, if and when a songwriter, a poet, or a musician is handsome, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to pursue women, right? Or worse. You know, he's going to pursue his lust and his desire for women. The Torah Ruim David was not like that. He was with Hashem. The Torah Ruim, and these descriptions are suitable. For a person going to stand in the palace of the king. David had died now, and even though David is still a lad, he praised him in these descriptions, which are his basic characteristics. Now let's have some fun. We have 5 minutes left. Let's have some fun. Turn to my notes. It said there are 6 characteristics here. So what else is associated with David, which is with the number 6? The Magen David. The Magen David has 6 corners. Nobody knows where the Magen David comes from. It's really not a Jewish symbol. But the thing is, Moshe was once asked, can you have a Magen David in a shul? They said, yeah, it's a nice symbol because it shows that Hashem is up and down and in all 4 directions. That's what 6 corners allude to. But the truth is, David is praised with these 6 praises here. Now, 6 praises which the Magen enumerated. Now, here's the cool thing. In the pasuk, it's in the bracha. There's a bracha of Magen David. You know, the bracha of Magen David appears. Haftorah, right after the Haftorah. So in the Haftorah, right after the Haftorah, that's the last bracha in the brachas of Haftorahs. Oh, not the last one. Before the Torah Avodah. So I'm looking here to see if I can find it. So what's that at the beginning? Let's start that. Yeah, the Chumash there. All right, it doesn't matter. I know it by heart. Thank you. Okay. So now we have the Samchenu Hashem Elokeinu. Okay. Right. Samchenu's first. Bimhera Yavo, 2nd. V'yagel Libenu, 3. Alkiso Lo Yeshev Zor, 4. Leichal Erechim Eskvoto, 5. Ki v'shem kodshcho nishbatlo, shelo yich benero lo lomvoed, 6. Right? 6 aspirations for Beis David. And with a little bit of effort, just a little bit, we can connect them. If you take a look here in the pasuk, actually I have it in my notes, it's clear. Samchenu corresponds to Yodeh Nageinu, because what makes a person happy? Negina, right? The singing.
Singing is connected with
Simcha. Simcha, right. Bimhera Yavo, he should come quickly. This is the one which is the weakest, my weakest one here. Bimhera Yavo means he's an Ish Milchoma, right? He's going to come quickly, he's going to wage war against the Goyim and come and save us. Yogel Libenu. What's the heart? What's in the heart? What do women have more than men because they have, they're very good in their hearts? No. Chalkorin Chazal. Yisera Nidna Benoshim. What do women have? Bina. Bina Yisera. They have the power of understanding. Well, that corresponds to Navon Dovar. By the way, we're going to get that next week in greater detail, how David had a lot of Bina. He's a lot of power of Bina, of his bonus of understanding things. That's Navon Dover, Yogel Libenu. Then there is, the next one is Akisolo Yeshev Zar, right? Akisolo Yeshev Zar corresponds to that he's a Gibor Chayil. He was the ultimate, he was the power, the Gibor Chayil doesn't just mean he was a warrior, but he has the stature to be a king forever and ever in Klal Yisrael, and therefore nobody will ever take his place. V'loyin chalu od achem is klonar. Nobody will ever take away his honor. That corresponds to ish toar, right? He's a person of stature, of dignity. Nobody can ever take away that covet from him. Finally, kivashem kochachonish batalo shalich v'ner lolam void. With your holy name, you made a promise that his candle will never be extinguished because he's holy. How do we see that he's holy in our pasuk? Hashem imo, Hashem is with him. So the six aspirations for Malchus Beis David mention this brach of Samchinu Hashem Elokeinu correspond exactly, with a little bit of effort, but not much, to the six praises given to David over here. And there's an amazing medrash. The medrash in Sanhedrin said, before I tell you that, a cube has six sides. And those are the six traits which are necessary to be king. And Malchus is the seventh sphere of the seven lower spheres, because the Melech connects all the six traits together and coalesces them and makes them one in order to govern. And therefore the six traits find themselves in David, who's the seventh, the Mekasher, who connects all of them together. Unless you think this is all just made up, it's an amazing Gemara. We'll bring down here. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Darsh Bar Kapar B'Tzipori. Ma'alechsi, what is that which it says? Sheish Sorim Elu Nosan Li. Ruth says to Naomi, I got these six pieces of barley from Boaz. My Sheish Sorim, what are six Sorim? Elay Mashish Sorim, I'm just going to say literally six pieces of barley. Chidako Shaboaz, Lite Matan Sheish Sorim, Boaz gives six pieces of barley. El Sheish Sorim, maybe say six measures. Chidako Shalisha, Lito Sheish Sorim, say, can a woman carry six measures? El Ramaz Law, it teaches Shasidim Shisha Bonim Lotes Mimena. Ruth is going to have six descendants. Shemiz Barchim Beshesh Shesh Brachos, each of which will have six brachos. Ve'lena, these are they: David, Mashiach, Danan, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And David, because of our pasuk. So all these people, six people, which have six traits. Because the six traits are the six traits which the Melech brings together in order that he should be able to rule and bring Klal Yisrael together in all dimensions, all the sides of the cube, in order to bring about the Malchus Beis David and Shalich Ben Niro, and to bring Hashem into Klal Yisrael. And we'll stop here for this evening.